For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Try and move me along, Kevin. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's great. It's so wonderful to be here with you in person and to be with you here online from your homes to share with you God's word. It is a real privilege to be able to do that. And I feel like the sense that I have is that we are enjoying something of what it means for God's word to dwell richly in us as we sing, as we speak, as we think, as we talk with God. So let's continue in that attitude of enjoying that rich word that God's bringing to us. I wonder if you've ever woken up to find that you've overslept. Is this something that you've done recently? I did this week. I confess that I woke up to the sound of my phone ringing. And it was an early morning food delivery that I'd forgotten about and hadn't set an alarm for, my mistake, and I'd overslept. So I threw on some clothes and rushed to the door, ready to receive this this shopping food delivery. I was out of it. I was completely fast asleep. I was unaware. I was missing what was going on around me, out of step, out of sync with what was going on. In the passage that we're thinking about today, Paul wants the church of Ephesians to know that despite what's going on in the world around them, there's a new reality that's come in the church. There's something of the kingdom of heaven being worked out in the church now on earth. He contrasts what they were with the new reality of their life in Christ now. And so in Ephesians 5:8, we heard that phrase, "For you were once darkness." It's really strong language, isn't it? I was thinking about the fact that it doesn't say, like in some of the other passages, "in darkness," but "were darkness." That's really striking, isn't it? "But now are light in the Lord." I have one of these. This is here's one I made earlier. It's from the Creative Resources. I don't know if everyone can see that. I'm going to try and hold it so that people here can see it, hopefully. Can people see it all right? And on the screen if you want to as well. So we have on the left-hand side, "For you were once, but now." And we might think, you might have heard in the newspapers, there's this stuff about being woke or anti-woke, all of these different things. And we might think, oh, hang on a minute, is being in the light something that we could end up being proud of, something that gives us a sense of superiority over others? Because, actually I'm enlightened, don't you know? Haha. I'm awake, won't find me napping. But no, The reason that we can't hold that attitude is because of that part of the phrase that we heard. It's a phrase that turns everything on its head. It's the difference between night and day. We were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. This is what Jesus has done so that no one can boast. And in verse 2, we heard, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to the Lord. That's what he's done so that no one can boast in themselves. So what is this turnaround, this kind of dramatic change, this flavour of heaven expressed on earth as the church loves one another and loves the world? So the first bit is, wake up, sleepyhead. So I'm going to try and... Okay, there. So we've got... This is my... I feel like if you have to explain a drawing, it's like explaining a joke that hasn't worked. But on this side, we have someone being asleep. On this side, this is my version of someone being awake. Can you tell? Is that working? It's a good drawing, isn't it? Yeah. You can tell why I didn't do art GCSE. Maybe I should have done art GCSE. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. He brings us from being asleep, out of it, spiritually non-responsive, to alertness. We're made awake, responsive, ready for action, following in his footsteps in a life of love. Now, we might not think waking someone up is that hard, but okay, let's hear the next bit. The next part, this is, we've got a gravestone. We go from being dead to alive. This is meant to be someone dancing to show you that they're alive. Do you guess? Is that working for you? Okay. You know, just in case it's not coming over for people at home. At his call, at a call from him, we're brought from death to life. Again, this is in the Lord, something that Jesus is doing. We were spiritually dead, incapable of saving ourselves, and at his word, spiritual life and strength and wholeness flood into our bodies so that we can rise up and walk with him. I was really struck as we were singing. There's something about the word of God in this call that he gives to us. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. That in the power of his word is the ability for the thing to happen that he's calling for. I mean, maybe this is obvious and people have probably heard it before, but you know, Jesus, we have that word coming in creation, and from nothing, there's everything. When Jesus speaks to us, wake up, sleepyhead, or I've added that in, wake up, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. His word reaches out to us and brings into being that thing so that our dead bodies can respond in life to his life. We're able to respond to his call. His life flows into us so that we can live. And you might remember from the stories of Jesus's life. Do you remember that story of the girl that died? And Jesus goes to them and talks to the family and says, she's only asleep. Do you remember that? She's only asleep. And he reaches to her and bids her, he speaks to her to get up, to come to life. And he reaches, and it's like Jesus, that I think... Sometimes we think, oh, wow, wouldn't it have been amazing to see that? Wouldn't it have been amazing to be there and see Jesus bringing someone who was physically dead to someone to be alive again? But in some ways, I think God wants us to get that actually something more amazing, more amazing is happening and has happened in the lives of people here at home, where we've heard that call from God and responded because we were spiritually dead and God has made us alive. He reached into our life and spoke and pulled us up into life. That's amazing, I think. His word has brought us life. And the last part of this is, and Christ will shine on you. We go from darkness into his glorious light. We go into that circle of light, bathed in the light of his love, his goodness, his righteousness, and his truth. And so often, don't we? We retreat into darkness. We try and cover our shame and our guilt. We try and kind of mask. We're all more familiar with masks, aren't we? But we do that in life, don't we? We can put on a mask to try and cover ourselves in others' eyes. On some level, we want to be seen and known and accepted and wanted, but we're also afraid of being exposed. But in the light of Christ, we can stand unashamed. Not because we haven't and don't do things wrong, but because Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Can I hear an amen to that? So then, how do we live? If we were once... I need to go backwards, don't I? If we were once asleep and are now awake, if we were once dead and now made alive, and the light of Christ is shining on us, how then do we live? Well, we're called to live as children of light, where the fruit of light is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. We're not to partner with wrongdoing. We're called to live out this contrast. We're not to be marked out by pride or self-righteousness, sitting in judgment on others, as if we're kind of stepping apart from the world in order to judge it. For we know that this is who we were and would still be if it weren't for God's grace. We're called to be a faithful presence, a distinctive and faithful presence in the world. So through Ephesians 4 and 5, we get again these flips, these contrasts. Instead of obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, there's to be thanksgiving and talk which builds people up. I know what I'd rather be on the receiving end of, would you? Yeah? So like that's the talk that we're meant to express, the words that are meant to come out of our mouths. Instead of lies, we're to speak truthfully to our neighbour. We're not messing people around or kind of covering. We're just straight up because we're able to speak the truth. The truth of God is in our lives. Instead of impurity and greed, we're to show loving kindness to others, to honour God with our bodies and to be generous with what we've received. And instead of letting bitterness fester, we're to forgive one another just as Christ forgave us. When we're angry, Bible's realistic, we get angry and it's an emotion that is an important one, but we're not to sin against others. We're to seek reconciliation. Instead of stealing, we're to work so that we have something to share with others. I'm going to pause on this one for a moment, just because I just think it really illustrates so powerfully something that Paul doesn't just say, stop stealing, so that instead you can work and have enough to kind of meet your own needs. Do you see how there's that just extraordinary kind of love, outward love focus? That the reason that we stop stealing is not just because we're depriving other people of, you know, there is wrong that we do to others, but it's also so that we can kind of work so that we can have something to give to others. There's such a kind of generosity being expressed in that way of love. We're not hurting others, but we're also trying to have so that we can give. Instead of getting drunk on wine, we're to be filled with the Spirit. So rather than either numbing ourselves or trying to heighten what we feel, the Spirit doesn't just gladden our hearts temporarily, but fills us with uncontainable joy. What flows out? What flows out when we've had this flowing into us? Not the kind of yuck of our lives. I did wonder whether I should mention vomit, but we'll leave Saturday nights for another time in the city. But instead of the yuck of our lives coming out, it's psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. By the Spirit, we're to make music in our hearts. Our hearts are alive with music to the Lord, giving thanks to God, the Father of everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So right the way through chapters 4 and 5, Christ's love and sacrifice for us means that as he speaks to us, he's bringing into being a new reality. He's brought each one of us, if we've responded to him, and us together as the church, he's lifted us out of death into life. Through his word, he gives his power and life that we can respond to his voice. He creates that new life in us. And we're to work these out in these very practical, everyday ways. In our speech, how we use our money, how we're using our bodies, how we're relating with others. It's really practical, isn't it? So it's not like Christian sprinkles here and there, you know, a bit of kind of like God kind of fairy dust or pixie dust or some kind of Christian sprinkles on top, but it's like yeast that works through the dough. It's something that works right the way through our life. Paul wants them to know what the Father has done, all that they are now in Christ through the Spirit, because he wants them to live as who they are. He wants them to live as who they are, as children of light. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word to us in Jesus, brought to us by the Spirit. Thank you that you reach out to us. You don't leave us where we are. You don't leave us asleep. You don't leave us dead. You don't leave us in darkness. But you say, wake up. It's time. It's time to come into the fullness of life. It's time to live in the fullness of my light. It's time to live in my love and to love those around us. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us in Jesus. Thank you that his life was given up for us as a sacrifice, a fragrant offering to the Lord. As we take bread and wine, Father, we want to know and live in the fullness of who you've called us to be, to hear your voice, to be brought into that fullness of life, to live that life of love that you've called us to. Forgive us our sins. Lead us in love. Amen.